Blog Talk Radio.
On Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Eddie and I will once again talk over each other at every opportunity. Headshots, headshots, headshots. Brandon Dubinsky's contract demands. Brad Richards, is he coming or not? Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Other shows, and you know, you guys out there, some of you come and see us on the Friday night show, and you know, Blog Talk Radio has come to us, being that we are one of the featured radio pro, we are the only weekly featured hockey broadcast on this radio network, and because of the success, which is in thanks to you guys, the other endeavors that we've done, our Friday night show, our interview shows where we've brought you people like Ron Greshner and Wayne Gretzky and Theo Fleury. Blog Talk Radio, as you might have heard us mention, they've put us on the payroll. They've asked us to do a couple other types of shows, maybe branching out into some other fields. We are proud employees of this network, and better days ahead. We turned down the offer from XM, and we're going to stay right here on Blog Talk Radio for now. Possibly occasionally branching out to Shovio, but that's okay. The agreement has been negotiated between those two entities. So we will be here with you, Blog Talk Radio. We are proud to be here, proud to be employees of the network. And
right. I mean, the decision was made by me and Jim that this is where you can find us. This is where people are gravitating to. So why change? So, you know, other offers have come in, but we're here staying. It's free for everybody. You know, why go something where, you know, you got to buy an XM satellite or you got to buy some kind of hookup? We're here, and this is it. We love it here, and you know, a little change in the old pocket doesn't hurt. If back in the Brinks truck's up, like I said last week at Jim's house. with all his shows and all that stuff. Well, actually, I'm part of every his show, so there are shows. But this is your show, Ranger fans. Now, I'm going to tell you what I don't know, which we could fill up, you know, some of the major oceans with on the globe. There was a trade that went down today that I just found out that the trade did happen. So I know nothing of this NHL trade. I'm not looking at the chat room on purpose because I know you guys like to be spoilers. So I guess when Jim feels the need to bring it up, you will have my immediate reaction to the trade.
I got to tell you, I'm honestly, I'm devastated by this trade because this isn't just a – I don't think this just signifies a trade, but I think it also spells severe trouble in a severe marriage trouble. I think it's the end of a relationship. And, you know, being a guy that being a romantic, I don't like to see a couple have problems. And I think this is a sure sign.
New Jersey Housewives?
I think this is a
sure
sign. I can't
think of one hockey couple other than there's only one hockey club I can think of.
I think this is
a
sure
that's got a celebrity
sign
wife.
That there is a marriage in peril.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
The Phoenix Coyotes have traded the rights to Ilya Bryzgalov to the Philadelphia Flyers in exchange for prospect Matt Claxton, a 2012 third-round pick and a conditional draft pick. There's trouble in the Maloney-Sather marriage, people. I don't know if Sather was sleeping with Maloney's housekeeper. They had an ugly love child. I don't know if Sather was sending pictures of his wiener to some woman on Twitter. I don't know what's going on. But this obviously means there's trouble in paradise. How dare Don Maloney make a trade with another team? How dare he? This is a slap
in
the face. As Junior Soprano used to say, the effrontery of it all. The effrontery. I'm calling for a sit-down.
How are the Flyers going to sign him? Don't they have cap problems? I mean, yes, I agree with you. Sather dropped the ball. There's something wrong in Satherville and Mr. Magooville on this trade. But the Rangers couldn't afford him. But I think this is bad trouble for us Rangers. Now they got a goddamn goalie? They finally figured it out?
Well, they ain't got him yet.
What do you mean they ain't got him yet?
Well, they've only acquired his rights. They still have to sign him.
Oh,
but
okay. I real quick
opened up Twitter to just post out there that we were going to be on, the show was going to be on. I happened to see a tweet about the trade, and then I saw another tweet that said the only way they could sign him was if they trade Carter. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I know nothing of their cap situation except that it's tenuous. I don't know anything about what's going on with the Flyers. I have enough problems keeping up with what's going on with my own team. So whether or not that's true, I don't know. Now, obviously, there's been some rumors of some disgruntledness with Carter and, you know, rumors that they're going to take away his fee.
Is that a word?
Disgruntledness?
Disgruntledness?
I don't know. That's in the last 2 minutes, I've used effrontery and disgruntledness. I like both of those words.
I like disgruntiary. There's been some disgruntiary happenings over there. I like picking up words. Okay, I'm sorry.
So, I have no idea if that's true.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm talking over you.
Who said?
Can't believe that. Captain says he has insight on the Flyers.
Thank you, Paulie. Captain, I did not mean to take you out of the call queue. I don't know what happened there. I see you're back in, so we'll get you on in a couple minutes. Let me see. All right. Hopefully, I think I have that file we spoke of before the show. It's uploaded. Now I just have to wait for it to show up, and we can talk about that in a few minutes. Now, right here. Rumors of Briere to L.A. I'm seeing from the captain here. So anyway, So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's the story with the Flyers. They made a they at least got the rights to Brizgalov. Still got to sign him, and that's it. So they may finally have solved their goaltending problems if they can sign him. But you know, if that's going to leave them without Carter, then you know, then what happens?
I mean, right.
He's
I mean,
it, center, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm scared, folks. And those Flyers get a goaltend. I know that, you know, injuries will always haunt them anyway. They always get plastered by injuries. But what does it say to Sergei Bobrovsky? What kind of message does it say to Brian Boucher, the water boy? What does this say to, who's the other guy?
Ray Emery.
The other guy.
Michael Leighton.
Ray Emery, Stan Fischel said, was going to be the savior for the Philadelphia.
Pete Peters.
Robbie Moore, the diminutive Robbie Moore. Gary Innes.
Phil Meyer.
Phil Meyer, not Meyer.
Whatever.
Would you like a mirror on that bagel?
I don't even think he played for the Flyers.
Who? Phil Meir?
Phil Meir,
yeah,
did he?
Yeah, I think he did.
Did he?
I think he did. He was Atlanta Devil. I think he was there.
Ah, Roman Čechmánek. What does it say to him? What does it say to Hextall?
What does it say to Tommy Soderstrom?
What does it say to Froese?
All right, now we're going to get into the old-time goalie thing. So let's not divert our course into some other ridiculous conversation. So, I think, a gigantic gift in the works. And Jim asked me, is it bigger than Gretzky? And I said, yes. How could you get bigger than Gretzky? As you know, we've had Wayne Gretzky on this show. I don't think he's big in legendary status. But I think at the current juncture of 2010-2011 hockey, he is certainly important, relevant, and would be a big land for this show, would a big coup, would give those people at Block Talk the, oh, what's that guy's, Levy's, and Alan Levy's, and the Josh Rabinowitz's, and the Myra Hershkowitz's, of Blog Talk would make them happy that they are paying us the big cha-ching.
Give them their money's worth.
When we deliver guests like this. They're getting their money's worth. So maybe we'll have a guessing contest later. But
not till later?
Well, start it now.
You're gonna throw that lure in the water and you're not gonna tease us at all? Nothing? That's it?
Wow, this one is so. I mean, I will say this: this man has never played for the New York Rangers. He has never played for the Rangers. I will say that he has played for one of the local teams. You can consider those teams teams.
Long Island Ducks.
No, he's not former Duck. I don't know, Joey Esposito. No. He's still playing in the NHL. He's very successful. I think he was an all-star either this year or last year.
He's still in the NHL.
Yes, this man is still in the NHL. I said he's still current in 2011. This man, I'm telling you, this is a bit. Now listen, I can't guarantee it, but there are talks. There are talks that somewhere during the summer, this man will join us.
Have we made him an official Blue Shirt Banner Radio proposal on the company letterhead, and you know, with our lawyers?
No, not yet. Okay. But it could be. Let me put it this way.
Just,
he could have a ring on his finger at the end of the Stanley Cup. That's all I'm saying. Not Chris Higgins, no. I don't think he made the All-Star team this year.
Send him a fruit basket and a hooker. So what, we're going to send him everything we get paid? DB Maven. Never mind. He never played for the New York Rangers. Is it Manny Malhotra?
No, I said he never. This man never played for the Rangers.
That's right. That's right.
He played on another local team. Again, I don't want to get.
Zdeno Chara.
No. Although Zdeno would be good. This guy, I hope he wins it now, because it would be even a bigger land if we get this guy. If he loses, it could be not so much. Yes, Christian Ehrhoff. What is? Where would I have a Christian Ehrhoff? Did he ever play for the Devils or the Islanders? I don't. Brett Lindros is not in the Stanley Cup, Howie.
And if he never mind. I was going to say, if he was, he probably wouldn't know it. Is it Mark Savard?
And somebody has guessed it. Somebody in the chat room has guessed the negotiations guess.
Luongo?
Yes. Roberto Luongo. Yep.
Now, my wife.
What?
How are you arranging this?
My wife teaches with his cousin, and they hang out all summer. So she told him I did a radio show, and he said I think he would do it. And, the guy is going to listen to the show, and I don't know if he's not an Islander fan. I don't know if the guy's a Ranger fan or a Canuck fan, whatever. But he said his cousin would probably be down to doing it.
Hmm. Interesting. Roberto Luongo.
How glad were you when you got traded away from the New York Islanders? What was going on then? But let's face it, if they don't win, he's going to be...
and not so good move.
It's going to be like he's a choke artist. He can never win the big game. Maybe he won't come on.
Right.
But you know the guy's going to have a million interviews. They're going to be crazy. Rangers HVP asked a good question. It's not enough to have a Rosasco. I think only Satan has a Rosasco under his employ. Under employ, rather. my wife came up to me and was like, oh, yeah, Roberto Luongo's cousin works with me, and, like, I'm good friends with him. And I was like, really? How come I didn't hear about this before? Maybe the guy just told her. So, whatever. If we get Roberto Luongo, what are we going to ask him anyway? Who's your favorite Ranger?
Who's your favorite Ranger?
I mean, it's not relevant to Boucher or Fanta, but hey, it'd be nice to have an active NHLer on who possibly could win a Stanley Cup, right?
Right.
Would just be like, Lundqvist is better than you, Chris, Roberto. No, we wouldn't do that. We would treat him with the utmost respect. So anyway,
we'll ask him when you left the Islanders. Did you do this?
Howie says we could talk about headshots. I think he said that. But so that's the scoop with my little surprise announcement. Now, let me just clear up. I'm not looking on the internet. Luongo, didn't he play for the Islanders, Panthers, Canucks?
Yes.
How long was he a Panther? Like 4 years? 3-4 years?
Yeah, I think so. 3 seasons?
4 years?
Something like that.
Okay, so that's the scoop with that. So,
all right.
Go ahead.
Did you say go ahead?
Yes, I said go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right, so obviously, now that we're in the off season, the I guess the hot topic has been Brad Richards. And I'm sure as you read on Blue Shirt Banner, or if you didn't, you read the Larry Brooks article saying that the Rangers have heard through the grapevine that Brad Richards will be seeking a long-term contract worth a minimum of $7 million per year when the free agent market opens on July 1st. And they've heard it more than once, and they've heard it from more than one source. This means that Glenn Sather will not be sending an asset to Dallas for – now, this is according to Larry Brooks. This means that general manager Glenn Sather will not be sending an asset to Dallas for the right to try and convince the 31-year-old center to sign before he hits the market. And the Blue Shirts are already pondering a plan B to bring a first-line pivot to Broadway. We're told by well-placed sources that Richards has no intentions of signing for a discount in order to reunite with head coach John Tortorella. That's fine if 5 years at $6.5 million per doesn't represent enough green to get Richards into a blue shirt, then that's that. I disagree.
What was that last part that you disagree with? I'm sorry. I was looking up something.
We're told by well-placed sources that Richards has no intention of signing. If 5 years at $6.5 million per year doesn't represent enough green to get Richards into a blue shirt, then that's that. And people jumped, a lot of guys on a Blue Shirt Banner, and I saw it on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, that's too much money. We'll never get them for that much money.
What?
That's the end of that story, blah, 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 blah. I think Ranger fans are giving this organization way too much credit. They're assuming that Glenn Sather is going to do the right thing. He's never done the right thing with the checkbook, folks. Trades? Sure. He's good with the trades. Give him that checkbook? Not a chance. And I think he will stand there. I have used this analogy before. He is like the kid with $10 in his pocket and a Toys R Us, and they're closing in 15 minutes.
Right. With such a glaring need and such the way they all talked about what this team, I mean, Tortorella did everything but not mention the guy's name last year. I mean, he had to consciously not try to mention Brad Richards' name. I think the Rangers will pay him. They will give him any amount of years that is up to what they can give. I mean, he's still got a lot of guys who are not signed yet, but I think they are going to spend every dime that they can to get him. And you know what? It could be another Chris Drew. It could be another, like, you know, 7-year deal. You don't know what it could be with these guys. So if you think that Glenn Sather turned into Susie Frugal all of a sudden because he's been semi-conscious the last couple of years with the pocketbook, listen, if they want something bad, if you're going to be bad, you want something bad, you're going to have to pay the piper. And what else are they going to get? We've already talked about maybe an alternative through a trade with Stephen Weiss. I mean, you think Stephen Weiss is going to placate or make the Ranger fans excited about next year? I mean, I think all of us here, the sane Ranger contingent, likes the direction the team's going, but I think we all agree also that, you know, 1-0 games and 2-1 games, I just can take it, you know, I just can't, I need to see some offense. I like to be excited during a game, you know, and I think Brad Richards could bring that.
Now,
probably when they sign him for this outrageous amount of money in years, then we'll bash him. We'll bash the contract, but right now it's pretty good.
Second and third guessing is free on this show. It's just part of the service we provide. Larry did mention another player that we've talked about on the show, and Jason Spezza, 28 next week, 3 years left at $7 million per remaining on his deal with Ottawa that includes the no trade clause, something we know just a little bit about. Even if Spezza would agree to waive it and come to New York, and even if the Senators would move him, chances are Brian Murray would demand far too much in return.
I think Captain New York Ranger made the best point so far. Spezza for $7 million is okay, but Richards for $7 million isn't.
Well, but Spezza for $7 million, you only got him for 3 years. And when you're done with Spezza, hold on.
I don't know.
Let me, let me, let me, let Let me just finish the thought. When Spence's contract is up, he's 31. Okay, you got him on the hook for 3 years, right? He's 31 when it's all said and done. Richards, you're not getting him for 3 years. You're going to have to pay him for at least 5 or 6. Then you're talking about a guy who, when his contract is over, he's 36 or 37.
Yeah. But you're also talking about this players going the other way for Spencer, where we don't have to part with our younger guys. I'm not interested in Jason Spezza. I think he's a good player, Spezza. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a difference maker. And probably on the Rangers would not be a difference maker. But yeah, I think he needs actually to shoot more. But anyway, it's a thought, but I don't know.
My biggest concern about is it Spezza or Spezza or Spazza?
Spezza. Whatever.
I'm German, so I say Spezza. My only concern about him is durability. Guy's only played more than 75 games 3 times in his entire career.
Yes.
62 games this season, 60 games the year before, 67 in 07, 68 in 06. So there are durability issues, but you're also talking about a guy who's had over 85 points 3 times, and then other than that, he hasn't. The last 3 years, his numbers have been down from that. But this guy with 70 power play goals in his career, I think they could do a lot worse. Let me put it this way:
it depends who they're trading. I don't want to give up on anybody in the Rangers system right now. I don't want to give up any players right now. Except maybe, I can't even think of one. Man, I really am brainwashed by this youth movement. I can't think of anybody I'd like to see go. And I know everybody say Michael Delzato. I'm not giving up on any Michael Delzato. I don't care what Mandar says. Mandar doesn't know his ass. Well, he knows his ass because it's so freaking big, that bastard. I'm talking ill of him because he's not here. I love him. But, he's a little crazy with it. But Jake Grossman just traded. He just threw out the Grotchev gauntlet. They give up Grotchev. I'm done.
That's it? You're done?
Did you see this big article that Rosasco and the Kremlin put out about Grotchev? Well-rounded Grotchev, poised for big year.
Apparently now he's well-rounded? Are you kidding? Hold on. I just lost the switchboard.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, it crapped out, and now I'm getting an error message. Hold on.
So did I.
Hopefully I can get it back here.
Let me read this thing about Grotchev while we're talking.
Go ahead. While I try and pull the switchboard. 24
came out and put his seal on him.
Okay, I got the switchboard.
6'4", but men are men and boys are boys. If it isn't easy just because you were 6'4" to go in the NHL and have a great year as a 19-year-old. But he was fine in his first year, and I think there's no question that there was a difference in his play this past season with that year under his belt. Apparently he's from the same town that Anisimov is at, was born at, both born. And that also says that Tortorella was very impressed with what he had to offer as a 20-year-old. I thought he did fine because he was asked to play a role. Gorton, who is this? He's Jeff Gorton. He's the Rangers assistant director of player personnel. We talked to Torts about that. As he told us, he put him in the role that we had for him. Torts said he was what we needed at the time, and Grotchev didn't hurt us. They were surprised by his physical play. It has really come. His timing and hitting were also much improved. Torts even commented on him as a well-rounded player who is now getting it. He's had 2 seasons of pro hockey, and at his age, that is just great. Now, I know that's put out by the Al Jazeera network of the Rangers. I mean, they're not going to say anything bad about the guy.
Al Rangers.
Foul Rain to Sierra.
Yeah, somebody coined that term on Blue Shirt Banner the other day.
So that's the positive spin on Grachev, and, you know.
Hey, he's ahead of schedule.
Oh, that's what they said last year.
I know.
Right?
I know. That's the latest from Berlin Betty behind the wall there. Betty Plaza. Tokyo
Rosasco. Tokyo Rosasco.
Tokyo Rosasco.
Okay. Well. Oh, my God.
All right. So let me ask you, did you – I know I had spoken to you last night. Well, we talked on the phone last night, big boy. you weren't watching the game. Did you get to see the Aaron Rome hit on Nathan Horton?
Yeah. What was that guy smoking? What's his face?
Keith Jones?
Keith Jones.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he okay. Kind of surprised the guy. Look, he doesn't leave his feet. What?
Yeah. Rome hit Horton, leveled him. Horton hit the ice, didn't hear any who's, got taken off on a stretcher. You know, luckily he got to the hospital. He's okay. He's out for the rest of the series, but he's going to be okay. And then, you know, after the first period, now I missed it. I was out and I didn't get home until there were about 6-7 minutes left in the first period. So I saw it on the highlights in between periods. And Keith Jones says that Rome never left his feet. And I went back and watched the hit like 3 times. I'm like, what is he talking about? And I posted it on Twitter. I said, Keith Jones just said that Rome never left his feet. And I seriously asked, am I watching a different replay? Am I not seeing it? Am I seeing this wrong? Do I not see a guy that's a foot off the ice? And people, you know, backed me up. No, you're right. He's just an asshole or an idiot or whatever else they called him. A few colorful metaphors. I don't get it. How can you look at that?
I don't know. His feet are up in the air. Is that leaving your feet?
It doesn't leave his feet.
Seriously. I mean, if there's space between the ice and your skates, I think that's leaving your feet. I mean, this is a clear-cut play here. I mean, maybe leaving your feet meant something different when Keith just played. Certainly, it's almost like he was apologizing, you know. And, again, Bettman must have been, you know, unbelievable, you know. And they want to get a 4-game suspension, right?
Horton's out for the rest of the series, and Rome was suspended for the rest of the series.
Oh wow!
You think that's an appropriate punishment?
Yeah, Stanley Cup playoffs. You know what they're gonna do, Jim.
But losing, unfortunately, the Canucks losing Aaron Rome does not quite equal the Bruins losing Nathan Horton. Who's one of the few, you know, bona fide scorers that they have. You know, that'd kind of be
right.
It's like Prust knocking out Semin or something, and both of them getting suspended for being out the same amount of games. So anyway.
I think Prust is better than Alex and Semin.
You get the comparison, though. Oh, Prust is ahead of schedule.
You get a guy who is a role player for the, you know, at Boston's, you know, they're a little bit short of scoring. You're taking a guy that, you know, can put the biscuit in the basket. So, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, this is just, and it's on the heels of Burrows biting people. And, I don't know, it's Canucks are a dirty team. Apparently.
Oh, not according to the NHL. There's no clear evidence.
No?
That's what the NHL said. That's why there was no suspension. There's no clear evidence. The whole free world knows it. I mean, the Canucks are actually mocking it after the fact. But the NHL says there's no clear evidence.
I don't know. Well, that was the NHL for you.
Hopefully, you saw Coley Campbell's not going to... He stepped down, resigned, got fired, whatever you want to call it, and Brendan Shanahan will be taking over that job. So I'm actually...
Wait a minute, I didn't hear that either.
Wait, you didn't know that? That was a couple of days ago.
No, I'm out of the loop. I'm out of the loop. Cole
You've been on the golf course.
For
a couple of days. Yeah. Yeah. What was that? Friday, guys? Thursday? Friday, maybe? Coley Campbell stepped down. I forget the guy's name who's filling in for a couple weeks, and then I think Shanahan takes over the beginning of July. Murphy something. Mike Murphy, Stan Murphy.
Do you think that those letters that leaked earlier in the season really were the end for Coley Campbell? Giving special to his son?
I don't know. I just don't think Campbell did a very good job. I don't know if the letters probably didn't help. I just don't think he was. I just don't think he did a good job. So, now I know you guys, we'll get to your calls in just a couple minutes. There was something else I wanted to mention, and now it has completely slipped my mind. Hopefully it'll come back around to me. I apologize to Blog Talk Radio for not being better prepared. I know you guys are paying good money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with this. I think I can create a talk. I don't know what is going on, but you can't get a switchboard. Oh, my switchboard's working.
Yeah, the switchboard seems to be back up and running. All right, here, before we go to the phone calls, I have about a two-minute clip to play, if this worked, hopefully. Today is an anniversary of a famous play in Rangers history, and I don't think it's too hard to figure out what it is, but here you go. This is, I think, the whole play. Let's see what this is, because I had to do this after we came on the air. There goes the switchboard again. Jesus. I would complain if we weren't getting paid so much money.
Yeah, we can't really say anything. It's management. Except, fuck you, Blog Talk. We don't care. We're here for the fans. I don't care. They can buy me out, Jimmy. I can't be bought.
Simple radio. Did you lose the switchboard?
Simple.
Yes, sir. No. No. What do you want me to
do? Gave it up to Tikkanen.
There it is.
Here comes Matteau across the line against Gerald Dinnick. Matteau is held up by Dinnick, tied up along the boards, roughed up and knocked down. Kept in by Bukaboom. Tikkanen shoots at the outside of the net. Larmer was open. His shot off the right arm. Here's Leach again. He shot it wide on the backhand. Leach in the corner. Puck up the boards. Kept in by Larmer. Matteau to Leach. Leach moving with a puck. It's knocked loose and taken by Bure. Bure on the breakaway. He's taken down by Leach.
No, will that be a penalty shot?
Let's see. Here's the shot by Adams and a save made by Richter. Yeah, penalty shot for Bure.
Yes. Oh, call your heart doctor. Get your cardiologist. Can't take much more of this.
Pavel Bure will get a penalty shot as he was taken down by Brian Leach on the breakaway. And they are going wild here at Pacific Coliseum.
Brian Leach here goes up ice. Bore's got the breakaway. He's got it and he's hooked up. He would have had a breakaway from the blue line in. Oh, my.
13:29 to go.
This
in the second period, Pavel Bure will have a breakaway, will have a penalty shot after the breakaway try.
This will be the first Vancouver Canuck ever to have a penalty shot in the playoffs. There he's having the rules explained to him by Terry Gregson, who will then talk to Mike Richter to tell Richter he can't leave the goal crease until Bure touches the puck.
It's 2-1. The Rangers are trailing the Vancouver Canucks. Pavel Bure getting set. Everyone on their feet at Pacific Coliseum. Here comes Bure against Mike Richter. Saved by Richter! What a save by Mike Richter to stop Pavel Bure!
Anybody else get goosebumps when they hear that besides me?
I did. I crap my pants. Oops, I crap my pants.
So, yeah, today is the, what are we at now, 17? 17, yeah, today would be the 17th anniversary of the of that game when Bure took the penalty shot and of course, was stopped by Mike Richter, just like he was in the All-Star game earlier in at Madison Square Garden, and he used the exact same move on both plays.
Yes, and wow. I mean, I love Jason Dean because, see, he was funny and he was entertaining, but just when he, to me, I loved when he got, like, really, he went into super goober mode. Call your cardiologists. It was, hey, we're going to have a heart attack, folks. And he goes, whoa, ma. I can't get enough of him.
Yeah, he was hokey.
Yeah,
you know,
but
he was
rooting for the Rangers too. He was great.
Yeah, he was hokey and he was rooting for the Rangers, but he was critical when he had to be. You know. Yeah, like I remember, you know that game we talked about it with Gretzky when we had him on. When he had the hat trick against Florida. And remember I talked about him, about how he got laid out early in that game? He looked like he was dead.
Yeah.
I always remember JD on the highlights when, look at Gretzky going into the boards and call the coroner, folks. He's out cold.
Oh, he's so good.
If you ever come across in your travels with your trading games, if you ever come across a copy of that game where he scored the hat trick against Florida, I'd like a copy of that game.
Give me the date and I can get it.
Okay.
If you guys in the chat room can find the date, that would help me immensely in a trade. James might have it. You know, James who called us the broadcast.
Oh,
he's got a lot more than I. He's got more recent stuff. I went up to 1985 with all my stuff.
Oh, okay. And that was 97. Was it 97? 97?
I think so. Yeah, 96, 97.
Yeah. So, you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's go. I want to hear what the peeps have to say. What's popping with the peeps, as they say.
Returning to the broadcast after a couple of weeks' absence, Robbie, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Welcome back.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome back. Appreciate the welcoming. It was pretty good to hear that Bure Richter, I was shot, my dad said that he was shaking when that play took place, and he was absolutely horrified because they were losing 2-1 already in that game, and had Bure scored on that play, they probably would have gone up 3-1, and the series would have been tied at 2, and it probably would have changed everything. So that was really... I obviously, being 4 months old, I don't remember anything because I couldn't see, but
well,
that was really good to hear it.
Those last 14 games, the 7 against the Devils and the 7 against the Canucks, there were too many to mention heart-stopping moments like that, and that was just one of them. I mean, that was one of the biggest, but, I mean, there were lots of moments where you just didn't think you could take it anymore. That's why Ranger fans, you know, younger Ranger fans crack me up when they get all nuts in game one of the playoffs. Oh, I can't take this anymore. I saw that so many times. Oh, I don't know how much more I could take. It's game one. Game one, round one. Come on. You know, we lived through the war, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we went.
That was like Robbie, do you remember the Mets-Yankees in 2000?
I remember watching Timo Perez getting thrown out at home plate, and my dad throwing something at the television, but I remember a little bit. I was like 6. I don't remember much, but go on. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, because
he wasn't running
felt...
hard?
What's up?
Because he thought Zeal hit a home run, right?
Yep. There you go.
And even the Yankee, and I don't want to get on to baseball, but even the Yankee fans felt a lot of pressure because it was the Mets. Imagine going through 14 games of that, you know, that kind of every play just being on the edge of your seat and the nerves and the blood pressure and the bad food we were eating, you know, eating potato chips. And,
you know,
it was just like,
I honestly don't know how, and I'm not talking about the Garden, but I honestly don't know how they can keep the ice cool as when the team goes deep into like into early June, because obviously like it's sold out, all the games sold out, and you know it's hockey's obviously supposed to play in the winter, and it makes the ice a little choppy. So I give people who work on the ice a lot of credit, because you know it's great how they keep it cool. That's always amazing to me how they've done that. So
okay,
props to the ice guys.
We salute
the ice guys. And then, ironically, pop out Bore.
It's one of those Bud Light commercials. Here's to you, Mr. Hockey Ice Maker. Mr. Hockey Ice Maker.
Riding their Zamboni is more than a sexual position.
Real man of genius. All right, so Robbie, what else is going on?
I was going to ask you, Papa Bore, he later, a few years later, he became a Ranger. Now, how much was he making yearly, if you guys know, off the top of your heads?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably like, I'm talking about $8 or $9 million a year?
Well, there was no cap then, I don't think.
Yeah, he was making there. Something around there.
The Russian Rocket.
There's a lot of dissension or discussion about if Pavel Bure was a good Ranger or a bad Ranger. And was worth the money or it was a failure because he got hurt. I say it was a total success. The guy scored like every game as a Ranger.
Yeah.
So, it was unlucky that he got hurt, but still, he wasn't a guy. I mean, we're used to guys coming over here from other teams and sticking the place up, sticking the joint up. He came over and he was scoring every night. I mean, he was not a disappointment. You can't help what the hockey gods threw him with the knee. I mean, that's just what happened.
Yeah, unfortunately, his knees were shot when he got to the Rangers. Look at what they traded to the Rangers with. Rangers got their second round pick for Igor Ulanov, Philip Novak,
hold on.
And a first round pick. That turned out to be Eric Nystrom and a second round pick. Excuse me. I mean, looking at the scope of things, the Rangers didn't give up. It seemed like they did at the time, but in the end, it didn't really turn out to be a whole lot. And look, he was what the Rangers needed at the time. When don't they? But they needed scoring. You go out, you get the best guy that's available. They took a gamble, and unfortunately, it didn't pay off.
Well, he was good when he was with the Canucks, obviously, during that series of Russian Rockets, but then towards the end, he kind of just faltered, so.
But I can't argue with 50 points in 51 games.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
What do you got, TV going in the background there?
What are you watching? You watching The Voice?
Who, me?
Yeah, what, you got the TV on?
Oh, yeah, I got the Mets game on.
Oh, are they winning or losing?
God.
It's 0-0 in the top of the fourth. They're playing the Brewers in Milwaukee.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's
thank you.
Burner.
I'm guessing that's enough Mets talk, huh? Let me think. I don't know how you guys do this as often as you do, dealing with Ney and Newman. And
because we get paid, Robbie, very well.
You guys get paid a lot. How much, if you don't mind me asking?
I can't discuss that on here. We don't talk money on this show.
We don't talk money. We talk about money when Woody Brown is making $6.5 million a year and Drury's making $6 million.
And I'm sure,
right? We talk money.
I'm sure he's talking about how much we're making.
You know what, Jim? I think Robbie, in his own way, is saying, I don't understand why you guys do hockey programs when there's no hockey going on.
No, you guys love the Rangers. Honestly, I do the same thing. I talk about the Mets during the winter. You guys love the Rangers. I respect that.
We do it because we love doing it. Cap Geek.
We love the Rangers.
Captain just said Cap Geek has Jim and Eddie's salary. Well, we get, actually, people that listen overseas, we get paid in euros and pounds and,
I got 20 pounds. They're all around my waist.
Hold on. Here, let me just get to this. Here's a question I've always wanted to ask you guys.
Again?
I'm dead serious, Master. Yeah, I've always wanted
to ask you guys.
I'm dead serious here. But then I'll let you guys go. Hold on 1 second, seriously. Out of all four of my professional sport teams, which team is closest to a world championship? The Mets, the Jets, the Rangers, or the Knicks? Which one?
I got to say the Jets. I mean, that's what I look at it. I mean, they've been close. At least they've gotten.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they may never, they may never get there, but I don't know.
What do you see? What you say, Jim? What do you think?
I refuse to answer that. I refuse to answer that question.
I say the Rangers will be there in a few years. If once, you know, once.
No, if you have to. Okay, let me put it this way: if you ask me, which team has the best chance of winning a championship soon? I would have to say.
I go with Mario. Mario says the Liberty, and I'm with
the
him.
Liberty. Yeah, Liberty.
Well, you can't see the Mets in the World Series anytime soon.
Never.
I know. I'm messing. But you know what? One of these days, the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup, and you know, I cannot wait to see that day when I'm going to go crazy, and I can't wait to see them win.
Robbie has promised to streak through the Canyon of Heroes when the Rangers win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow. I can't wait for that. So I can just finally celebrate and get back at all those Devils fans that have tortured me for all the years. Same thing with you guys when you were my age with the Islanders fans.
Yeah, we can imagine.
All right, Robbie. We're going to get some other calls in.
All right, I'm back.
That was Eddie, not me. Oh, you didn't give him the new boom? You gave him the old boom?
I gave him the new boom.
Let's get the captain on. We haven't talked to Captain for a while. Captain, what's going on,
Delvin,
buddy?
How are you?
Doing well. How's
doing
about
good.
You?
I'm fantastic. You know, it's funny. You listen to Robbie and you remember those memories. I mean, I was only 10. I didn't really know what was going on at the time. But I don't know if I would make it through that now. Like, if we went through that exact set a four round of playoffs, I think a few of us would kick the bucket on the way in.
We'd lose a few along the way?
Absolutely. During the parade, there would be the pictures lining down the Canyon of Heroes of the people that we lost to get here.
Well, look, you know, guys like me and Eddie and DB and Mario that lived through it the first go around. No, but I don't know. Maybe we don't have another one in us. Might be one of us.
Diets in America aren't as good as they were 17 years ago. We all eat more crap now, so we might not make it.
Oh, yeah. My diet was great 17 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's been a while since I've called. I've been a little busy, so I missed the whole talk about Tim Erickson. That was a fantastic trade. I was so thrilled with that. I can't begin to tell you how happy I was.
Wow, fantastic and thrilled, Jim. You hear this?
He's like me. He's right there with me.
All right. You guys are starting to bring me over to the ecstatic side.
Eddie, they gave up two number twos and a mid-level prospect, two number twos in a crap draft, for a guy who would have been in the top 10 if he went back in the draft. You do that every day of the week. That was a great, great deal. And it helped that his father was a Ranger. Hopefully now, you know, Vinny Prospel will go on to greener pasture so they can give him number 20.
Now, you also know he's cousins with Oscar Lindbergh.
Lindbergh,
guy. So now we are now, what is this, some kind of nepotism? We're going to get every Jan Eriksson family member in our stable? Is this what's going on here, Captain?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. How much do you want to bet? And let's just say they're too much credit. But do you think that maybe they went and traded for Lindbergh because they knew Calgary couldn't sign Eriksson, and it was one more thing they could put in front of Eriksson to say, hey, sign a deal with us?
I don't know.
I think they signed Ryan Worth.
They also have the same agent.
Right. I think they signed Ryan Bourque so that they get Kreider out of college because, you know, they're really good friends. But on to more pressing matters. I have slowly come to be heavily in the get Brad Richards camp, and I'll tell you why.
Hold on a minute there. You were the guy that talked me out of it a couple of months ago.
I recall.
We got a foot flopper.
I saw a power play, and I changed my mind.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, that's on a power play? It took you that.
Reality punching me in the face.
Well, we saw that for 82 games. Reality knocked us. That power play broke my orbital bone. So bad.
I would much rather have Richards for just the mind than having to then give up assets for Weiss or give up assets for Spezza. It's unfortunate, but if they were going to give him 5.5 to 6, well, now they can give him 7.5 because of what happened to Bogaerts. Now the money's freed up. I mean, it's absolutely unfortunate, but, you know, that's the reality. And, you know, $7 million, I'm okay with $7 million. It's the years. If it's 5 for 7, I can deal. If it starts getting to 6, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be Drury all over again. But I think if it's 5 for 35, there's a question.
You're not getting them for that.
I don't necessarily know that it goes to 6 years in Toronto. And I don't think Tampa has the money. I don't think he wants to go to L.A. I don't think he wants to go to a heavy hockey market. And even though New York is, it's not like Toronto. That's all they do in Toronto. So, you know, I mean, if it's 5 years, I'm just happy. Remotely happy.
Do you think expectations would be too high on him in Toronto to bring them back into, bring them back to being a legitimate team? Can't say playoff team, a legitimate team.
I think he has a better chance to win in New York, and I think he knows it. I don't think that the Leafs are Brad Richards away from winning their division. I mean, you could make the case that, you know, I think John Buchagross tweeted this when they were talking about getting him at the deadline. He said, do you think the Rangers can win the Cup with Richards and Gavrik? Yeah, I do. Now, I don't necessarily believe it's going to be 100%, but they're obviously a better team, and he is exactly what is holding them back. So,
Richards,
I mean, who? I'm sorry?
Richards, oh, you said Gavrik. I was making a joke.
Yeah, Richards and Gavrik.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Richards playing with
Gavrik.
I would be for it if it's 5 for 7, maybe 7.5. To give Gabby's deal, I'm fine. Say that.
Okay. Now, Captain, you were talking about, you know, a little bit about the Flyers. What's going on here with Ilya Bryzgalov, and who would they let go in order to make room? What's your take on that?
Well, they're not trading Carter, and they're not trading Richards. And anybody who thinks that any team in the league is going to give them anything remotely close to value for guys who are on a contract 3 presidents from now is nuts. They're not going to trade those players. They gave them those contracts for a reason. The people that you might see get out of Philadelphia, likely in order, are Hartnell, Briere, and Teeminen. And Teeminen and Briere is interchangeable. Teeminen's got 2 years left at $6 million. He's up there in age. They could try to move him. I think he was already rumored that he might be being asked to move his no-trade clause. Briere, somebody set the contract, so he's got like 3 or 4 years left, and the hit is 6.5, but they front-loaded it, so the money is at 6.5. He'd be appealing to a team trying to get to the cap floor if he moves his no trade. Hartnell, I think, if they got rid of Hartnell for anything, I think it's a positive. And look at a team like the Islanders for a guy like Hartnell. For what he's getting paid, it's ridiculous. And I mean, he's only good because he's on a team with the kind of forwards that the Flyers have. But again, you know, they're a salary cap bomb that's about to blow up. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, and I'm very happy about it. So, yeah, you'll see them fall by the wayside sooner than later.
Informational, concise, well-informed, Captain. I have to tell you, you brought it all. You took a couple weeks off, and you came back
prepared.
Less frenetic. You came not only prepared, but you know how his delivery is always a little bit frantic and hurried? He's precise with sniper-like precision on all points. I love this guy.
This classifies me as a low-grade moron.
I'm looking forward to the draft because I think that that's going to be the night you might hear some news as to what they're going to do with Tobolski. Because, you know, red back on summer cap means they can't make a move for Richards without having gotten rid and made some space prior to that. So don't be surprised if you start hearing news coming pretty quick. They want Richards to make space, and those are the two guys that are most likely to hit the fan, so to speak.
Rock wants to know, you want Prozac or any other kind of sedatives? You're very low-key tonight.
You know what? No. I made a concentrated effort to make myself a little better understand it. A nice little neck of the woods.
Well, let me tell you, brother, you brought your AA tonight to this Blue Shirt Banner radio broadcast.
Well, I was inspired. I turn on my phone, and all of a sudden I hear my theme music. I had to get prepared for when I actually hit the air.
Wow. Even the crowd, the golf.
The live studio audience. Blue Shirt Banner radio studio.
That's on me next. Studios. So,
I'm getting kicked out of my brand new studio in a month. I was told.
Oh, you are?
I'm not going to be allowed to use my studio.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Exactly, Paulie. You're goddamn right in it. You're goddamn right.
I wanted to ask you, Captain, because you weren't here for the last two broadcasts before we let you go. Where are you on the Dubinsky? You know, it was reported by Larry, one of the Weirdly Brooks there, that
Foster
Brooks. He was asking Foster Brooks, that he was asking for like $4 to $4.5 million per year. What do you see Dubinsky getting, and what do you think he deserves?
I think that Dubinsky probably gets a deal in the vicinity what Bajak got a few years ago with the Devils, which I think was 4 years, $4 million per. I think that he's somewhere in that vicinity. He's like a $3.5 to $4 million player. But, you know, even if you give him that, I looked at some of the guys that we have that are going to be free agents, and you can tell me if you guys kind of think I'm close to the ball here. I figured Doobie and Callie both get like $3.5 to $4 million a year. Anisimov and Boyle somewhere $2.5 to $3 million, and Sauer between $1.5 and $2 million. So the deal those guys get, assuming they do buy out Drury and Volsky, they have enough to pay for Richards and have a little bit left over.
My feeling on this is I think Anisimov you're a little bit too high on. I think Artie will probably take less than that.
I'm trying to be conservative and I'm trying to give them a little more than I think they're actually going to get. So I'm looking at worst case scenario. If we have to overpay these guys for whatever reason, we still have enough money to pay Richard. So the cap doesn't come into play, assuming they do the right thing and get rid of Captain Crush and where's the net Volsky.
Yeah, well, it sounds like I'm looking at the reaction in the chat room. A lot of people think that Boyle that would be too high, it's whether is Brian Boyle an approved player or is he just had that one big year? I mean, so it's going to be interesting how they play this. I don't think Boyle deserves that big of a payday, but I don't know. Everybody seems to be looking at B.B. Maven, who, I respect, is saying 1.5 in a 2-year deal for Boyle.
Done.
Yeah, but the problem, if they take him to arbitration, the arbiter looks at his last year of his contract and gives him $1.5 to $2 million. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to score 20 goals again, but if you go by, the numbers that he put up, you pay $2.5 million for a guy like that. I don't think that necessarily that's the best in their best interest, but I don't think that they walk away from it either.
Can I answer your question? Well, maybe not your question, but can I answer that with a question of my own?
Sure.
If he's not scoring 20 goals again, what do we need him for?
Well, he does give you size, which they don't have
that he uses 50% of the time.
Fair point. Fair point.
He was better this year, but he's not where he should be.
I'm not arguing that, but I'm also not, we all got excited when he had 16 goals or whatever it was in January, and then we got another four before the end of the season. Played a real nice, did a nice job in the playoffs for the most part. But I'm not going to sit here and cry over if Brian Boyle's not on the Rangers next season. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going nuts trying to sign him back. Because if he ain't scoring 20 goals again, then they don't need him. We can get guys that score 15 goals, you know, dime a dozen.
I think it'll be interesting what happens. Let's just see. Even if he signed to a short-term deal or if they offer him arbitration, we'll see what he gets. I'm interested to see what guys do in camp to maybe push a guy like him maybe to get traded, even after he signed. You know, they have guys like Hagelin, who they're so high on Hagelin. They're so high on all these young guys, and Grachev, who I know Eddie has a shrine to somewhere in the town. These guys eventually do have to play. So that's why I thought
the Russian riflemen.
Guys like Fedotenko and guys like Prosper. I mean, the team's just moving away from that age of player because they finally have players that they can plug in, supposedly.
Wow, you know who they want. They have already penciled in Jim's favorite, the Lindbergh baby, Oscar Lindbergh. Great on face-off. Maybe he makes a strong camp. And
there
they trade Boyle.
And in two years, they are the New York Swedish elite team. You watch.
I do think that Eriksson makes the team out of camp. I think he's your sixth defenseman.
Jackie Lomb will be able to get a Swedish better all the time.
Yeah, those Swedish elite defensemen always play great.
All right, Captain, listen, we got to get to some other calls. We only got about 25 minutes left.
We'll talk to you next time, buddy.
Cool.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you too, guys.
Good night. All right, let's get Rock. He's up next. Rock, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you doing tonight?
Doing good.
Very nice. Captain actually took a lot of my thunder away from me. We seem to
do
that often with each other.
Then.
I guess brilliant minds think alike.
That's right.
He was fantastic. He did a great job. He covered a lot of things that I was going to talk to you about. And, Jimmy, you hit it on the head initially with Richards, and people were jumping off the Richards bandwagon on Sunday after that Larry Brooks article. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, no one must have read his articles in their life before because he loves stirring the pot. I mean, he is the king of stirring the pot. And let's be honest, he hasn't been very great with breaking stories recently. So wherever his sources are, you know, and I have a lot of respect for Brooks because, you know, he's one of the few, till Jesse Spector came around, you know, one of the few newspapers that would print stories throughout the entire summer about hockey. So I respect him for doing that. But the drama with Richards, and like I said, man, we touched on this last week. I think there's going to be a very limited market where he can go and make top dollar. I mean, you know, Larry Brooks is going to come out and say, oh, the Rangers are only going to offer him 5 years at $6.5 million per. Well, what if Richards comes back and says, okay, I'll take the 5 years, but I want $7 million? The Rangers are going to say no. I mean, I think it's a little bit presumptuous of him to just come out and say, well, that's it. If he doesn't take $6.5 million per for 5 years, you know, he can go fly a kite. And then they start bringing up Joe Schmo like Stephen Weiss is the end all be all. I mean, all of a sudden Stephen Weiss is like the next coming of Mark Messier, the way people
Kelly
are talking
Kissio.
About him.
Kelly. Well, you know, the my
parachute.
I'd rather have Kissio.
My Ulf Dahlin. My whole thing on the story was everybody just assumed that that's it, the Rangers are out. Money means nothing to say. He will never be outpriced. I mean, this man does not know how to say that's too expensive.
And the point of the matter is he doesn't want to trade any of these young players.
If Brad Richards says $15 million a year for 5 years and I'll come play in New York, you know what? Sather and that Nudnik Dolan will be looking under the couch cushions for spare change before they'll say no.
That's great. You're right, Jimmy. You hit it on the head.
I mean, I totally agree with you guys. I mean, you think he became the frugal gourmet over freaking 2 years? And as far as training the young guys, well, yeah, you're right there. I think the guys that they covered, they're not getting rid of. And to think that they have changed their ways is ridiculous, because this is the first real shiny toy they have been presented with in a while. And I think he's itching to get, you know, he's a shiny toy, and you're right, Eddie, he's a shiny toy,
but the thing with difference with Richards in comparison to everyone else is he fills a lot of needs, and he's not coming off one really good season.
He's just a different breed than
all the other free agents they've brought in the last 3 years, you know, and he's not, you know, we don't know. I mean, listen, Chris Drury played on a very good Buffalo team. We all wanted him. He was also 31 years old. You looked at his supporting cast, and his supporting cast was better than what Richard had in Dallas. Plain and simple. We paid Drury coming off a 37-goal season where he had a... A very good supporting cast.
I
was
prepared
to thought.
You made you laugh, huh? With that wah thing. I know it's thrown me off many a time as well.
But,
I just think
those are different needs.
No, I understand that. I'm saying that he doesn't fill a need. I want him. You know? But in their mindset, there's one guy out there that stands apart and from everybody else. And for the Rangers not to make that move, Dolan and Sather, Sather, his ego, and Dolan, his ego, not to go after the big fish and then have to maybe settle for, you know, a little minnow like Steven White. That's not in their DNA.
And, I mean, you saw last offseason, I mean, despite the fact that Sather was reserved, he still gave a ridiculous contract. And, you know, Derek Bougaud, God rest him, it was a horrible contract. I mean, it didn't hamstring them financially the way Redden's contract did, but it was still a crazy contract. It was a ridiculous amount of money. Not even the money part, it's the years they gave him. And, you know, so, you know, that's a great point by you guys, that saying that, you know, he's not going to be outbidden, and what Captain said is right. I don't think they're going to buy out Wolfsky. I think they're going to let him play out his contract. I know if he's a very low cap hit as far as buying him out, but to me the biggest sign is if they buy out Drury. I mean, if they we're all under the impression that they're going to buy out Drury between the 15th and the 30th of June, but they might turn around and say Richards is looking for $9 million a year, you know, hypothetically speaking. We can't get him. So why have this dead cap space? There's really no one else out there. We're not trading our young players. Why not just keep Drury for one more season and wipe our hands with him at the end of next year? Now, whether they'll do that or not, you know, who knows? But it's a very distinct possibility that they might just keep the team they have and go with what they have and hope that some of these young guys, you know, hopefully that Callahan's healthy for a full season. Hopefully Dubinsky, they might just go that route. And one spot where I will disagree with Captain is I think they're going to bring Fedotenko back. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been looking at the Ranger website. I get tweets from everybody, but Fedotenko's still doing charity events with the Rangers. And we're, what, 20 days away from free agency? I don't remember in the past a potential unrestricted free agent still doing charity events with the team, you know, this close to July 1. He was at the Rangers golf outing today, and he did something else the other day with the Ranger alumni and whatnot. So I really think Fedotenko's coming back. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
No,
I'm good with it if he came back.
The other guy that I'm not so good on with it, it's just controversial, is Prostel.
No, he doesn't come back.
Cut bait.
He's done.
I think it's time to cut bait with him, too. I agree with you.
Yeah, you know.
He should retire.
He should retire, and I think he's, you know, he did good as a Ranger. He did his best, but, you know, listen, we must press on. You know, this is what we got to do here. We have to get younger guys. Got to get younger, got to get better.
And, Jimmy, last week when we were talking about Rick Nash and you asked me if I would trade Dubinsky and McDonough for Rick Nash, I was thinking about it all, you know, leading up to the show tonight. And I would trade Dubinsky if we could get a top player like Rick Nash. I'm actually at that point with him where if we can get ourselves an elite player and he is the holding, you know, he's the guy that we have to give up, I would actually give him up before I would give up Callahan. I just think that Callahan offers different things that Dubinsky hasn't shown me yet. And I don't really maybe I'm in the minority. I don't think he's a $4 million hockey player. To me, he hasn't put up the numbers that Zajac's put up.
I think you're in the majority.
I think Zajac's better.
With the real range, I think you're in the majority with the Rangers who watch the games and, like, the people who listen to the show. That if you can't score 25 goals in this league, I don't see you being a $4 million player.
And Dubinsky does it every year to us. He starts off October, November like a bat out of hell. And he tails off at the end of the season. And, not a great comparison, but Mike York used to do that all the time. He's another guy that would have 15 goals by January, and he would finish the season with 18 or 19 goals. And it's not a fair comparison from a stature or just a, you know, they're different players, but just that type of how he would just start the season like a bat out of hell. And then finish the season. I mean, Dubinsky had 21 goals. I think he had 5 empty netters.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think he led the league in empty net goals.
And I think, you know, when you talk about Dubinsky and Callahan, who will be forever intertwined, to me, you know, Dubinsky has more scoring skill. I don't think there's much question about that. Well, I would say he has more
even
scoring touch. You think so? But to me, the difference is I feel like you get 125% out of Ryan Callahan every night, and I feel like you get somewhere between 75 to 100% out of Brandon Dubinsky every night. And some nights it's 75, and some nights it's 100.
Right.
Is that maybe you agree?
Well,
maybe
you're right.
No. Don't feel like you get the best of – some nights Brandon Dubinsky is their best player, and then – there seems like stretches of games.
He's invisible.
It's frustrating to me because he's one of the few Rangers that when he – I've said this also. When he makes up his mind to do something, take the puck to the net, he can do it. If he – you know, he really can. And why he decided – where I can't – I don't know if he consciously – he can't consciously decide it. But on some nights, he's just like, I had one shot on net. He didn't have any shots on net. And this has been a topic with Tortorella with him, too, is consistency to keep that level. And you guys are exactly right with Ryan Callahan. I know he's given 100%. I notice him every night he plays. He does something.
You're right.
I think we overrate Dubinsky. I think as a fan base, we overrate him tremendously.
We've done this with our prospects forever. My father, who took me to my first Ranger game, we had this debate. He still owes me. I forgot what the bet we made is. He bet that Christian Dubé was going to score 20 goals he's going to score 30 goals in the NHL.
Maybe on NHL 94.
Maybe.
On Sega.
We always overrate our prospects. And for the most part, you know, we're right. I mean, we've been right. I mean, with the Gordy Clark era, we had that hope. We've seen the fruits of the Gordy Clark era so far.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, the point of the matter is that we do overrate our prospects. And to me, like I said, I mean, and not to get on a tangent, but to me, Dubinsky's not a $4 million player, and he's probably going to get it. He's probably going to get, you know, around what Stahl got in that vicinity, and they're probably both going to get that. Whether they deserve it or not, is irrelevant.
We'll find out soon.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Rock, we got to get a couple other calls in before the end of the show, and
okay.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for calling.
Take care,
great
Rock.
Call, as always,
later.
Buddy.
All Be good. Later.
All right, we got about 10 minutes to go. I'm gonna bring in DB Maven, and then I'm gonna bring in. Yes, but I'm also, before we get to DB Maven, I want to bring him on. But before we get to DB Maven, I want to bring in Newman. Newman, are you there?
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
What's going on, Kent, fellas?
I have a question.
Uh-oh. What's this question?
Are you serious? Would you say that Ryan McDonagh is going to be the next Brian Leach?
Yes. Mark my words.
So you're telling me that Ryan McDonagh is going to score 100 points?
Yes.
In a season?
He'll be a Conn Smythe trophy winner.
I don't care about a Conn. I mean, you're telling me he's going to be a 100-point defenseman in his career?
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not out of my mind. I told that to his parents. And when Leach first came up, did he have a shot? No. He perfected his shot over time.
But Leach was...
No, Brian Leach.
Leach was touted as the next Bobby Orr. He was expected to be an offensive defenseman.
Well, so was McDonagh. He's going to be two-way. He'll stay.
I will bet you $100 right now that Ryan McDonagh will never score 100 points in the NHL.
I will take that bet.
$100?
Yes.
Okay.
Whoa!
Leach is a Hall of Famer, dude. Ryan McDonagh is going to be as good as Brian Leach. He's going to be a 100-point defenseman. Do you realize how hard it is to be a 100-point defenseman in the NHL?
Yeah, didn't Lidstrom do it also? Didn't Nicky Lidstrom do it also?
But you're talking about. I mean, look at the guys. You're talking about Hall of Famers, John. Ryan McDonagh's played 40 games in the NHL.
It's going to happen.
This is terrible that I'm going to have to take Stacey's $100 like this.
You're going to be taking yours, and Jen's going to back forward it to me, all right?
I love Ryan McDonagh, but he's not going to score 100 points, ever.
He will.
You're basing this on. What have you seen out of this guy's game?
Oh, trust me, he's going to be the... Just his presence on the ice, he sees the puck better than any defenseman on our team.
Lidstrom never had 100 points. I'm looking at his stats right now. The highest he had was 2005 to have a 2006 with 80 points.
Okay, so
it's not 100 points. It's 20 shots.
Get 100 points. Get 100 points.
Not in this
I'm
day
with
age.
Jim. You're smoking it, man.
This classifies me as a low-grade moron.
I mean, John, this guy played 100. He played 120 some odd games in college.
Dream.
And had 50 points.
Jim, I'm going to take a word out of Paulie D. That's a bunch of garbage.
Well, at least you admit it.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Thank you, Paul.
John, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a $50 buyout on this bet right now. For $50, we'll forget the bet ever happened, and I'll delete the show from the archives. The only people who ever know this whole conversation took place will be the people that are right here, and then in a year or two, it'll just all be urban legend. You put $50 in an envelope and mail it to me tomorrow, and I will delete the whole thing from the record. I'll give you a buyout. This will be your buyout.
I want you to prove me wrong then, Jim.
Ryan McDonagh is going to prove you wrong. I'm not.
No, he will not prove me wrong.
Okay.
He will not.
Two seasons, but they can equal 100 points.
Mark my words, old man.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Did you just call me old man?
Yeah, I did.
Exactly. Hi, DB. How are you?
I'm laughing my ass off.
I even offered a buyout.
The Rangers defense won't get 100 points in the next 5 years. Less one defenseman.
I mean, that whole thing just made my head numb. I can't fathom.
You know, I honestly think he just pulled a Lamba and just wanted the attention to get on the air and made fun of. I don't think he's serious. But
well, $100.
Look at Captain. Where were you when Newman bet $100 that Ryan McDonough would score 100 points? Where were you? Do you remember where you were? Legends of
Father.
I think we have to make a fan post and put it up on the front page.
I think we'll have to put.
Father.
It's actually a good topic. How many of you, we'll make it a poll. How many of you people think that Ryan McDonough will ever surpass 100 points in a season? I like
Three.
It.
John, four. John, Stacy, and Ryan McDonough's parents, who he talked to. Eddie has a better chance to be on the Japan gymnastics team. That's great. Who's the last defenseman to score 100 points in this league?
I have no idea. I thought Lidstrom had a crack at it, but if he only hit 80.
Doesn't happen anymore.
It really doesn't.
But we have a couple of years ago. He didn't have 100.
Right. Loral, maybe he meant 100 points for his career.
I don't know.
Oh, he said in a season. Yeah, let's make sure I got that right. I did say 100 points in a season.
So, maybe what did you have?
In the whole league, there was only one forward that hit 100 points this year.
He's not great.
Ryan McDonough. I think he just wants attention.
Yeah. So we have 2 minutes left.
Crack might be a step up, but anyway.
Is your mind a little bit unnumbed now? Are you coming around?
I'm not sure. In brief, 2 minutes or less. The whole Brooks thing also made my head numb because all he does is write to get attention, and it's not like he's writing the checks. That drove me crazy. The Rangers need a Richards-type player. If there was somebody else out there, then fine, but right now, Richards is it, and it makes a whole lot more sense, at least to me, and you know, I'm not saying I'm right all the time, but it makes a whole lot more sense to spend only money, which you have, to get that, as opposed to trading assets for a Stastny or a Weiss, and Weiss to me is not even in the conversation. He's not the caliber of player that Richards or Stastny are, and I think you'd give up 2 boatloads to get Stastny.
Right.
The Tim Erickson thing was a great deal. You effectively got a first and a fifth for 2 seconds and a fifth. And I don't know how you can go wrong with that. Plus the guy everybody seems to think he's NHL ready right now. So you could see him on the blue line in the fall.
Yeah, I think something to be excited about. I have to come
Absolutely.
Around.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that you should be.
Yep.
That should be
Adam
a good
like
Oh, that's great.
Did you ask Mitch Beck?
Mitch Beck, you mean?
You're lucky. You're lucky. Sorry. You're the great DB Maven, because that would have gotten a lesser caller blown up.
I had to do it. I apologize.
No, I'm on board. It's all good. It's all kosher. It's all ready to go. Wrapped up in a nice little Big Pack, fucking Richard Petty, and Jimmy, and DB.
I think it's going to happen. I can't see Sather keeping his wallet warm.
No. He's ready to spend.
Okay. Yeah, I can't imagine that he won't. I think, you know, we're actually a week from tomorrow away from finding out what could happen with Captain Cash.
Yeah, what's the window for that is June 15th to July 1st, right? Is that
I don't know if it closes on the 1st or not, to be honest, but it definitely opens on the 15th.
Yeah, I think it's only like a 2-week window. If I'm not, I could be wrong about that, but
yeah, I think you're right. There's a normal buyout period, and there's certain things that you can do in exceptional conditions. But I think you're right. I think it's a 2-week period, and it starts the 15th. So, you know, we're that much closer to finding out what's going to go on.
Yes, I think we're doing a show with Leslie Treff. I have her booked for Monday, Jim, on the 13th. She was up at the Combine, so we'll get to hear what she has to say.
That's Monday night?
Yeah. Can we do that?
Yeah, I'm letting the chat room know.
Monday
okay,
the 13th, okay.
Monday the 13th.
And we can ask her about all the... she probably knows a lot about Erickson, too, so I'd like to hear what she has to say about him.
I would like to hear what she says about any of those guys, although I don't... I thought she was more familiar with the North Americans than the Europeans, but...
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
It's always fun listening to Leslie.
Yeah. All right,
and
maybe.
Just that outgoing, yeah. Bubbly personality.
Oh, yeah.
We love
her. She reminds me of Charo in her prime. Gucci!
God.
That vibrant. But, listen.
We love Leslie. Anybody that comes on this show, they're good with us. Except Mitch.
That's right. Mitch Beck. Suck my cock. All right.
I'm
good night, everybody.
I apologize.
All right, we'll see you
good
guys
night.
Friday night. Good night, everybody.
Take care.
Have a good
bye,
one.
DB.
Bye.
Take care.
Good night.